Welcome to HN Pod, your daily dose of the top stories and discussions from Hacker News. Today is Monday, March 9th, 2026, and this is episode number 330. I am Sarah.
And I am Mike. We have a really fascinating lineup for you today. We are looking at Ireland officially shutting down its last coal power plant, a really cool browser tool that turns your handwriting into a font, and a deep dive into procedural hex map generation.
Plus, we are going to get into a heavy but incredibly important debate about AI code generation and the erosion of copyleft licenses. And finally, a Florida judge has ruled red light camera tickets unconstitutional.
Let us kick things off with some environmental news. Ireland has officially become the 15th coal-free country in Europe. They just ended coal power generation at their Money Point plant in County Clare.
This is a pretty big milestone. That plant was commissioned back in the 1980s to help offset the oil crises. But today, Ireland is generating a massive amount of its electricity from wind. In fact, wind made up about 37% of their electricity in 2024. The Money Point plant is not totally dead, though. It is going to serve as a backup oil burner for emergencies until 2029, but it is officially off the wholesale electricity market.
Of course, the Hacker News comments immediately did what Hacker News comments do best, which is debate the technical definitions of everything. A lot of commenters pointed out that being a coal-free generator does not necessarily mean you are running a coal-free grid.
Right, because of interconnected European energy markets. One commenter noted that Europe has largely deindustrialized, effectively exporting its coal burden elsewhere. And another pointed out that while Ireland killed coal, the majority of their energy still comes from natural gas and oil, not just wind.
There was also a really interesting thread tracking other European countries. A user named Bromhog posted a breakdown showing that places like Sweden phased out coal by converting their plants to burn biofuels from the forestry industry. Meanwhile, places like Estonia never imported coal because they rely on their own oil shale. So the transition looks very different depending on local geography.
Exactly. But even with the pedantry, most people agreed this is a net win. Moving from coal to natural gas, even as a bridge, halves the CO2 intensity. It is progress, even if it is not perfect.
Speaking of perfect, let us talk about your handwriting. Our next story is about a project called Font Crafter. It is a completely free browser-based tool built by Chris Perillo that turns a scan of your handwriting into a real installable font.
I love projects like this. The pitch is so simple. You print out a template, write your letters in the boxes, take a picture, and drop it into the website. The app detects the characters, traces the vector outlines, and spits out OpenType, TrueType, and web font files.
The best part, and the reason this blew up on Hacker News, is the architecture. It requires no account, no subscription, and no server uploads. Everything runs locally in your browser using JavaScript. Your handwriting never leaves your device.
That local-first approach really resonated in the comments. A user named GHRL pointed out that there used to be multiple tools like this on the web, but a company called Calligrapher bought them all up to establish a monopoly. Now they charge an $8 a month subscription if you want advanced features like ligatures.
Which Font Crafter includes for free. It auto-generates ligatures for connected letter pairs like FF or TH, and it even supports contextual alternates, so your letters do not look perfectly robotic every time you type them.
The comments turned into a great discussion about how open source and indie developers are the best defense against what people call the inshittification of the web. When a company buys up all the free tools to force a subscription, eventually a developer gets annoyed enough to rebuild it and give it away for free.
Someone even suggested that with the new Mistral OCR models, you might not even need the template boxes soon. You could just upload a picture of an old diary and have an AI extract the font perfectly. One user mentioned they have an autograph book from the 1800s belonging to their great-great-grandmother, and they are going to use this tool to digitize her handwriting.
That is beautiful. From historical handwriting to medieval maps, let us move to our third story. A developer named Felix Turner wrote a brilliant article called Building a Procedural Hex Map with Wave Function Collapse.
If you are into game dev or procedural generation, this is catnip. Felix built a system that generates these gorgeous little medieval island worlds with roads, rivers, coastlines, and villages. It uses 3JS and WebGPU and generates about 4,100 hex cells in 20 seconds.
He uses an algorithm called Wave Function Collapse, or WFC. If you have ever played the board game Carcassonne, you understand WFC. You have tiles with different edges, like a road or grass, and you have to place them so the edges match. The computer basically does this by starting with a grid where every cell could be anything, and then slowly collapsing the possibilities based on constraints.
But Felix points out a massive problem. Hex tiles have 6 edges instead of 4, so the combinatorial explosion is insane. And as the grid gets bigger, the algorithm frequently paints itself into a corner and fails. He had to build a multi-grid system and a layered recovery system just to handle the backtracking when the algorithm gets stuck.
I thought his solution for the really stubborn bugs was hilarious. If the algorithm absolutely cannot resolve a boundary conflict between 2 tiles, it just drops a mountain tile over the seam. As he wrote, nobody questions a mountain.
The Hacker News crowd loved the technical write-up, but they had a lot of thoughts on the algorithm itself. A user named Porphyra pointed out that WFC is essentially a constraint programming problem and suggested that using Knuth's algorithm X with dancing links might actually solve the boundary issues with a much higher success rate.
Others suggested using dedicated SAT solvers. But what I found most interesting was Felix's realization that WFC is actually terrible for placing things like trees and buildings. It is good at local edge matching, but bad at large-scale patterns. So he ended up using good old Perlin noise to cluster the forests and villages, letting each algorithm do what it does best.
It is a great read, and the live demo runs beautifully in the browser. But let us pivot to something a bit more controversial. Our fourth story is an essay by Hongmin He titled, "Is Legal the Same as Legitimate? AI Reimplementation and the Erosion of Copyleft."
This is probably the most important discussion happening in open source right now. The context here is that the maintainer of a massively popular Python library called Chardet recently released a new version. It is 48 times faster and written from scratch, but he used Anthropic's Claude to write it by feeding the AI the API and the test suite.
And here is the kicker. Because it was a clean room rewrite by an AI, the maintainer changed the license from the strict LGPL to the highly permissive MIT license. The original author objected, but legally, since the AI only looked at the behavior and not the protected expression of the code, it seems to be entirely lawful.
Which brings us to the core of Hongmin He's essay. She asks, just because this is legal, does that make it legitimate? Prominent developers like the creators of Redis and Flask defended the rewrite. They compared it to the GNU project rewriting the Unix user space back in the day.
But Mihi argues that the analogy is backwards. When GNU rewrote Unix, they were taking proprietary software and making it free, expanding the commons. In this case, AI is being used to take copyleft software, which legally requires you to share your modifications, and strip those protections away by converting it to MIT. She argues this removes the fencing that protects the open source commons.
The Hacker News comments on this were incredibly deep. User JRochkind1 pointed out that if you can prevent someone from re-implementing a spec, you are giving massive power to intellectual property owners, which usually means large corporations. We fought for decades for the right to build workalikes.
But on the flip side, user ZMMM asked a really existential question. If AI makes writing software trivial, does intellectual property even make sense anymore? IP is premised on the idea that creativity and development are hard and require investment. Once an LLM can generate a library in seconds, why grant monopoly rights at all?
That is the trillion-dollar question. Another user pointed out that right now, AI output is generally not copyrightable in the US without substantial human modification. But in practice, IP law is an expensive weapon. If big tech companies can use AI to launder TPL code into permissive MIT code, the individual developers who rely on copyleft to enforce reciprocity are going to lose their leverage.
Mihi made a great point in the article about how permissive licenses are often framed as more share-friendly. But in reality, sharing under MIT flows in one direction, straight toward whoever has the most capital and engineers to commercialize it. The GPL forces you to share back.
It is a messy transition period. We are watching the foundational rules of open source get stress tested by AI in real time, and nobody really knows where it is going to settle.
Let us wrap up today with a story about a different kind of automated system. A Florida judge has ruled that red light camera tickets are unconstitutional in Broward County.
I know a lot of drivers are cheering right now. The case involved a driver who got a ticket in the mail after a camera caught a car registered to them running a red light. The defendant argued that the Florida statute unconstitutionally shifts the burden of proof onto the vehicle owner.
Right. Under the law, the registered owner is presumed guilty unless they submit an affidavit ratting out the person who was actually driving. Judge Stephen DeLuca agreed with the defendant.
he ruled that because these tickets carry formal findings of guilt and impact your driving record, they are quasi-criminal. Therefore, the government has to prove beyond a reasonable doubt who was actually behind the wheel.
You cannot just abandon centuries of due process and the presumption of innocence just because it is administratively easier for a traffic camera. The judge actually framed the red light camera scheme as a revenue-generating operation rather than a public safety measure.
The Hacker News thread had a really nuanced take on this. A user named Hamdingers pointed out that California is trying a new speed camera pilot program that explicitly solves this legal issue. In California, the tickets are strictly civil penalties, exactly like a parking ticket. They do not add points to your license, and they do not impact your insurance.
That makes it constitutional, because it removes the criminal aspect. But that sparked a whole debate about the psychology of fines. Someone brought up the famous Haifa daycare study, where a daycare started charging parents a fine for picking up their kids late.
Oh, I love that study. Once they introduced the fine, the rate of late pickups actually went up.
Exactly, because the fine turned a complex moral obligation into a simple financial transaction. Parents basically felt like they were just paying for a late pickup service. Some commenters argue that if you make traffic camera tickets purely civil fines, without license points, it just becomes a poor tax. Rich people will just treat the fines as the cost of driving however fast they want.
Which is why points on a license are the great equalizer. But as this Florida ruling shows, if you are going to threaten someone's driving privileges, you better have an actual police officer there to identify the driver, not just an automated camera mailing a bill to whoever owns the car.
It will be interesting to see if this ruling gets appealed to the state level. It could end up shutting down red light cameras across all of Florida.
And that is all we have for you today. From the death of coal in Ireland to the existential crisis of open source licensing, it has been a packed episode.
Thank you so much for listening to HN Pod. We will be back tomorrow with more top stories from Hacker News. Have a great day, everyone.